I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening helmet, to Nate and the Noise.
Standing in the huddle.
Hump Day musical theme for today. We always do that on Wednesday, give you a musical theme, with tomorrow being the first day of fall officially. So we've been doing nothing but songs with fall in the title. We always do that here on the program. Just a little something, a little tidbit to share with you. You always know you can find that with Sean and I on a Wednesday. College football been a popular topic for us this week. Talked with Barry Alvarez earlier, now from SB Nation on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline, talking college football and the ACC. Jason Kirk joins us. You find him on Twitter at JasonKirkSBN. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. We'll get into specifics with specific teams here in just a minute, but especially going forward. But your take in last week's absolute drubbing, beatdown, butt-whooping, I mean, every possible adjective you can think of that happened between Louisville and Florida State.
I would say those are the takeaways. Coming into the game, this was one I didn't really have a great sense for who was going to win, because Lamar Jackson, while we've seen him have really a lot of good games over the past year and a half, we haven't seen him in that kind of game against a top five team if he could do the same things he'd been doing, and he did. The rest of the team was amazing as well. On defense, they had FSU's entire pass protection looking like it just had no idea what was going on. Radcliffe running the ball well, the receivers actually making catches like they weren't in the previous two beatdowns by Louisville of the year. Just a complete team win that I think at this point, if you're looking down the road and saying, well, can Louisville make the playoffs? Honestly, I don't know a great argument against it, other than they have a couple of really tough teams left on the schedule. It was as impressive a win as we've seen, in the last calendar year or so.
When you look at Lamar Jackson, now responsible either by the pass or the run for 18 touchdowns, that's on pace, and now we're short into the season, that's on pace to break the record from back in 2006. Is Jackson's, when you look at his maturation from year to year, what have you seen that's gotten him to take this kind of leap? Was this sort of expected, hoped, or has this maybe exceeded expectations of Louisville?
I would say exceeded. Last year, looking at him as a runner, it was clear he is a problem for defenses. The passing wasn't quite there, but he was a freshman. With an extra year in the system, and we saw this in high school as well, his completion percentage as a first-year starter was in the 40s. As a high school senior, it jumped up about 10 percentage points. So, he clearly has a track record of improving and developing as a passer. And now, in that offense, which a Bobby Petrino offense for a decade has found ways to get guys open downfield, and he's able to hit them, and the pressure he puts on safeties with his feet makes it, there's just no good choice. Plus, they also have a running game. This is the next level of the Bobby Petrino offense, basically. This is probably what we would have seen if Bobby Petrino and Michael Vick had ever actually been able to spend some time together in the NFL. But I think he just unlocks, Lamar Jackson just unlocks entire new levels of an offense like this. And the touchdown thing, I mean, they're playing Marshall this week, and Marshall just gave up 60-something points to Akron. So, I mean, he might break it this week. I don't know.
Well, over on the other side of that loss, of course, you look at Florida State, and Dalvin Cook was expected to be such a major cog in their machine, and he still is, but is underwhelmed. I mean, we're talking about a 3.7 yards per carry average. That's not even all that good in the ACC, let alone in the country. What are you seeing with that running game? What's slowing them down?
There's some speculation that he hurt, but then again, he was hurt all last year, and that's never really stopped him before. The explosiveness just isn't there. That was always his thing. He'll just break a big run. But FSU's offensive line hasn't looked great. They've been banged up. He's been struggling in pass protection as Tomahawk Nation breaks down. Just not quite the same player, and it is very hard to diagnose. He's got probably an improved quarterback next to him. So that should be taking some of the load off. You know, you don't want to have to rely on just a running back in a game in which the other team scores 63 points. But, yeah, it's pretty clear there's something not quite right with FSU's entire running game. And it's hard to pin it on just him, but he is struggling in more than just one phase. So,
coming out of last weekend where we had obviously some big matchups, the top 10 matchup that we already talked about, coming into this weekend, maybe not the same kinds of matchups when we look at the ACC, but Clemson taking on Georgia Tech tomorrow night. Make a case for Georgia Tech for me. Both teams are 3-0. Clemson just absolutely dismantled Little Sisters of the Poor last week. So, but make the case for Georgia Tech being able to win this one, or at least maybe surprise some people since they're at home.
It was either 2 or 4 years ago, I can't recall which, but a recent time that a top 10-ish Clemson went to Georgia Tech and left with an upset loss. It's a tough place to play a weeknight game. Because, you know, I live in Atlanta, so I feel familiar enough to say this. It's a weeknight game is when you're going to get a much tougher environment there because of, you know, various geographic and traffic related reasons. You're actually going to have a packed, fired up house. And you know, that offense is tough to prepare for on a short week. No matter how good of a defensive coordinator you have, no matter how talented your defensive line is, it can find ways to give you problems. And I think we've seen enough early this year to conclude that Georgia Tech is, you know, they're back closer to the usual Paul Johnson standard. This isn't slumping 2015 Georgia Tech anymore. So, yeah, I mean, if the offense bounces back like it did last week against a not very good FCS team, Clemson's in fine shape. But if it looks like it did the first 2 weeks, absolutely an upset could happen.
Virginia is 0-3 for the first time under Bronco Mendenhall. They've never really been that slow a starter. Now, how do they work their way back? Can they work their way back? Or is this one of the situations where sometimes you see the university when they've had decent long-term success that they're kind of in a rebuilding phase?
Yeah, this whole year is a punt for Virginia. with, you know, the ACC made a number of really good coaching hires, hiring proven winners, and Virginia was one of those, but we'll just have to wait till 2017, 2018 to find out whether this is actually going to work. It looks like a greatly improved conference over the past 5 years or so. The Coastal Division as well, with Pitt, Miami, UNC, Georgia Tech, all of them looking pretty strong so far. It's a tough conference and it's a tough division, and they really have nothing. I mean, they had a few big recruiting wins over the past 5 years or so, but it's just clear this entire year is just simulate to the end for Virginia.
Great stuff. Jason Kirk, you find him on Twitter at Jason Kirk SBN, SB Nation, talking college football and ACC with us. Jason, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You joined us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline last year. Over 3 million drivers switched to Progressive. Call or click to find out how much you could save. It's interesting in the way the schedules are. And this happens across college football no matter what. But last weekend, crazy. This weekend, you go and you look at the schedule for the teams in the ACC, and it's just, it's not overly exciting. It's, Virginia Tech with East Carolina. It's, as you were talking about, Central Michigan and Virginia. Boston College is playing Wagner. You know, here you roll right back to another week where you go, oh, okay, well, I'll pay attention to the ACC again in a week when Louisville takes on Clemson.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like this is a calm before the storm.
Curious to see how Florida State bounces back. Obviously, that's going to be a big deal, even though it's a game they should win handily. You want to see
Florida.
How they play. But you're right. That Clemson-Georgia Tech game, that's the game. And you wanted one more reason for hope.
Hope.
Last time Clemson beat at Georgia Tech in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
2003.
Ooh.
And Jason talked specifically about the tough. You know, so I've spent a lot of time in Atlanta, and he's right because the nature of the traffic down there in the perimeter, it changes the dynamic of the fans that are there. It's a tough place to play.
Oh, traffic in Atlanta. Two cities. I mean, Denver's climbing, but two cities. Atlanta, and Houston. You don't want to get stuck in traffic in either one of those cities. You want to talk about road rage.
Just bring a camping equipment. And
that stuff gets real down there. Our segment brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear, guaranteed. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans. Another segment to go with Sean Drotar and Nate Lundy, SB Nation Radio.